Blog Talk Radio.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's a Friday Saturday. It's another Saturday. It's 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man Marvin Rome coming to you once again. Show got some fire. You definitely don't want to miss this one. Tune in, text your friends, call them. This is going to be a beauty. Let's get started. Oh, come on with me. Oh, yeah. No bad love.
Girl, that's what I got.
Hey. There's no better love. You got that right. No better love than for self and kind. Welcome again to Empowerment Saturdays, 365 days of African-American empowerment, because we have to do the job of empowering ourselves. And so before we get started, as always, we will talk about the tenets of the NAAEA. The National African-American Empowerment Association has been organized and comprised to impact the African-American community. Those who have been impacted by the slavery of, or the enslavement of African Americans. So we're talking about the descendants of Africans in America, and we're talking about those who continue to have to deal with the supremacists, and we'll talk about that today, and the strategies that this country has placed upon us. But how do we do that? Really simple. Have a political agenda. And you'll understand as we continue to go through this process and on this journey of empowerment how critical politics are. You need an economic agenda, people. You got to have money. In this capitalistic system, if we're going to stay here, we have to, one, have a political agenda, and two, we have to have an economic agenda that makes sure that we have the resources to fund any and everything that we need. If you want schools, you need money. If you want good teachers, you need money. If you want a building, right, that you can keep and repair and maintenance, you need money. If you need a van or a bus or a vehicle or to fund an after-school program for your kids or reading program for your children, you need money. If you want to teach them about arts and sciences and STEM programs and projects, you need money. Right? That's the economic piece. You need a family, and then you need to know how to manage it. You need to know how to manage it in your families, right? In the communities. You need to have stores. You need to have corporations, right? You need to have those things. Then there's athletics. And under the athletic department is really simple: health, wellness, fitness, nutrition. You got to take care of your bodies. You got to eat right. You got to exercise. You got to drink water. You got to take care of your body and give it the nutrients that it needs. But not only your body, you have to take care and covet your mental health. You got to protect your mind from the disease mindsets of some of those people who are thriving in this culture and in this community. And lastly, but not least, well, not lastly, culture, right? You got to have relevant cultural programs. And then you have to have a comprehensive educational component that looks at developing our people mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And so today we're going to talk about what happened on January 6th. I'm calling it white supremacy versus democracy, right? I'm calling it the battle, right? I really call it a social civil war, because I really don't think they want to fight against each other again like they did in the Civil War. And I might add that it was an opportunity to rectify what democracy could look like after the Civil War, after we came out of enslavement, because the founding fathers, you remember, decided that they would have a democratic process, right, that talked about liberty and justice for all and freedom and the ability to find prosperity and all of those good things for all, right, which meant them. But again, so you see how the division really is set early with white supremacy, just is, and probably some other things, because white supremacy is just doesn't just live in politics. It lives in economics. It lives in every aspect of the culture, which allows this group of people who we saw that we'll talk about today to do what they did. And so think about for a minute, right, because the topic is going to be what happened on January 6th, right? The storming of the Capitol, white supremacy, law, power, and democracy in America. And again, they had a chance to right the wrong back during the Civil War. And around 1877, they gave power back to the South. And again, they made some decisions that allow what we see now as Jim Crow and racism and black codes and lynching and all of those things that lead us up to now. And they're saying, like, Trump is saying, make America great again for one reason. He wants white supremacy to reign, amongst other things. Now, again, this is my opinion, right? And so the battle is going to be between not us, so to speak, because I think we have to have our own agenda, which we'll talk about later on, but they have to decide what kind of country this is going to be. So I think we need to know our position, right? But know what's going to happen, right? There is a fight that's going to go on between – it's an in-house fight. It's an in-house fight between them. So we'll talk about that. I'm going to open up the lines. But I'm going to see if I can start with a quick clip, and then I'm going to bring Brother George in to let us know – what it is that the Willie Lynch moment.
John Brennan
about.
Served as CIA director during the Obama administration. He's now NBC's senior intelligence and national security analyst. Director Brennan, good morning. You spent your life assessing these threats. What we saw this week didn't look like America. It looked like some faraway coup. The Trump supporters with extremist views right now online are emboldened. They're vowing that they're not done, that there's more to come. So in your eyes, was this the beginning of something, or is this the end of something?
Good morning, Peter, Kristen. Well, I think it may be both. I think it is the start of a renewed effort on the part of those supporters of Donald Trump to try to take their battle to Washington. Clearly, there was a massive security failure earlier this week, and I believe now that the Capitol is going to be very well prepared and very well defended to prevent any type of violence from taking place. But I also do see this as the end of the beginning of the Trump era. I think there has been a reckoning within this country of just how divisive and how much he has divided us as a country. And so therefore, I think there is going to be a new dawn in 12 days that Joe Biden is going to try to bring to the White House and to this country.
Director Brennan.
These facts are not new, nor are the double standards. Some of the documentation is new. We have more cameras today. We have more mobile phones. We have more networks that anyone can use online to share the videos that document these very old, enduring facts of America. And some of those videos may have helped change some minds in 2020. Some of this documentation may have mobilized people in November, and again this week in Georgia. The facts, when documented, do matter. Never forget that. I mean that. I want you to know that tonight, even amidst this horror show. And yet we also need to be clear about these old truths. From my reporting, it seems like black Americans know these truths. It's especially dangerous for them not to. Seems like most white Americans know these truths. It seems like these rioters knew these truths, these facts very well. It seems like they took this double standard as a given, something our colleague Joy Reid made very clear amidst the mayhem and the breaking news in her significant remarks last night.
They know that they are not in jeopardy because the cops are taking selfies with them, walking them down the steps to make sure they're not hurt. White Americans are never afraid of the cops, even when they're committing insurrection, even when they're engaged in attempting to occupy our Capitol. In their minds, they own this country. Guarantee you, if that was a Black Lives Matter protest in D.C., there would already be people shackled, arrested, or dead.
Arrested? We'll take that in. We just showed you that's not a hypothetical guarantee for the future. That's the recent history. I can also report to you there was standard police work yesterday. There was a scattering of cops that did attempt to hold barricades as rioters overtook them. That may not have gone viral, but that was part of the policing. There was the attempt to block the door into the Capitol, with Trump supporters closing in on both sides. There's this now infamous photo of Capitol Police literally barricading the entrance to the House chamber, guns drawn, defending the U.S. government from the followers of the U.S. president. Harrowing images of a violent attack that was, we know, weeks in the making, encouraged partly by Donald Trump's assault on democracy. It's unacceptable. What happened is, even amidst everything we know in this enduring history, a low point for American democracy. There are some who've wrongly said, well, this just isn't who we are. But this is who we are. This is who we were yesterday. And let me tell you something. It's who we are today and tomorrow, unless and until we do something about it. If you are...
How about that? Brother George, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Welcome to the show. How are you, brother?
And, you know, and, you know, I'm ready to dive into this complicated subject.
All right. Take it away, brother.
Okay, well, I'm going to start with the Willie Lynch segment. And today I'm going to read from a book called The Little Book of Race and Restorative Justice, Black Lives, Healing, and U.S. Social Transformation by Fenaya E. Davis. Race and racism in the United States. The United States is a nation born in the blood of the slave of the enslavement of Africans and genocide of Native Americans. It is founded on white supremacy, the bedrock belief that the white race is inherently superior to the black race. Yet, race has no biological or genetic basis. The nation deliberately constructed this pseudo-scientific notion to justify slavery's unspeakable terrors. White people and black people are historical social inventions. Neither the people nor designations existed before slavery. Now, what they're saying there is that during the time periods before the modern day, I'm going to say the modern day is anything past like the 1500s. People identified with their nationality. And so when you like talk about the Roman Empire, all Romans were not Italians. There were African Romans, there were French Romans, there were a lot of different people that were a part of the Roman Empire. So it was a nationalistic thing, and that's why you see different races of people fighting in different people's armies and things of that nature, because white and black at that time was not a political identification. Yeah, they identified as being white and black because you read that in different history books on African history, but it was not politicized the way that it is today. Black was used as a political designation to change our status so that we could be treated whichever kind of way that they decided that they wanted to treat us. So I said something to Marvin earlier this week when he told me what the topic would be. And I just wanted to throw this in there, that this is my thought, is that capitalism and white supremacy, you can't have white supremacy without having capitalism, because in order to have white supremacy, control the resources, and that's exactly what they did. They took control of the resources, and then through the white supremacist structures that they have, the three different types of white supremacy, they control the resources, and then they control the competition. They control your ability to compete for those resources. And so that's how white supremacy works. And so anytime someone comes along and says, well, we want an equal opportunity. Oh, that's socialism. You get your socialism. That's all, you know, because they don't want to compete fairly with us for those resources, because in many cases they're probably going to lose. So that's the Willie Lynch segment of today. And now I would like to move on, because the brother also asked me to match up one of the Kwanzaa principles with what is going on with us today. And I think, in my estimation, the closest one is Ujima, which is collective work and responsibility to build and maintain our community together and make our brother and sister's problems our problems and solve them together. Well, we got problems in this country. And the major problem is that we need to figure out that we have to work together with each other. We have to create a lot of different things, which is exactly what Marvin was talking about earlier when he was saying if the only way we're going to get out this mess is we're going to have to create a system within a system, because the educational system is the miseducational system for us. And as long as our people stay miseducated, then you stay unmotivated, because when you miseducate people and you teach them lies, then you're telling them that you actually did things that they did. And so in order for us to take back what's rightfully ours, to rise us to our traditional greatness, which is a part of another Kwanzaa principle, we're going to have to educate our people to the true accomplishments of our people and the things that we have given to this world to function with. So I don't want to hog up all the time, because I know it's going to be a lot of brothers and sisters that want to speak on this particular topic. So,
all right. Thank you, Brother George. I appreciate it. Hey, this brother is committed to sharing his knowledge. And again, he has, I know, over 30 years of investing his time, his energy, and his mind into developing our people. I would like to say one thing, right? We have to evaluate this. Right, and I'm thinking over and over and over and over again, man, what happened just now? And again, my reflection was, this is nothing new for us, nothing new. They'll run in and riot and burn down your town. They'll run in and riot and destroy what's ours. They'll gather together when they want to and have a lynching or a picnic, as they call it, if you know the history behind that. And so the truth is that there's a double standard. We know it because we've seen what Black Lives Matter was like and how they got treated. But you mean to tell me that they could storm the Capitol of the United States with while they're in session and nothing happened? I'm going to the lines. I'm starting with 7974. You're at the top of the deck, and I'm going straight down. It's Empowerment Network, Marvin Roan and Stan Macklin. How are you today?
Hey there. I'm doing good. I'm doing good. So I'm excited about the topic of this show. Like most Black people, we have been talking about this, the dichotomy of it, the disparities of it. But we've been talking about it from a lot of different perspectives. Many people have said, it's not my fight, right? But to look at it, to see, you know, the disparities between what has happened with them storming the Capitol and what happened with Black Lives Matter has been astounding, but not really. So here's what I would say. I think that this is a blueprint for white supremacy, and this has always been the blueprint for white supremacy and white power. They are devoted siblings, right? White power and supremacy and white power and violence have always been intimately connected in our country. And I think that the first thing I would say is that it is a false equivalency or notion to compare Black Lives Matter, first of all, to what took place at the Capitol, the treason, terroristic, domestic terrorism that took place. What we should be comparing it to is all of the blueprints of white mob violence that has happened in this country since the beginning. We look at the Rosewoods, we look at the Red Summer. We look at lynching, Reconstruction, Jim Crow. All of the times when white people's white fragility, their whiteness have felt threatened, black people have endured the violence of that. When they felt like they were losing their countries, when they're losing their freedoms, black people have always been on the end of this. So let's not compare this to Black Lives Matter. Let's compare it to what we should be comparing it to, which is centuries of violence against black people when white people felt that they are losing or becoming disenfranchised or losing their footing in their white supremacy. So I want to make sure that we're not doing false equivalencies and feeding into that, right? The other thing is this false notion of law and order, right? We know that Nixon ran on that during 68. We use law and order instead of just saying it's a way to talk about race without talking about race. And the rhetoric of Blue Lives Matter. Here's the thing, though. The law and order and the blue lives only matter when they're juxtaposed to subduing oppressing black bodies. As you see, they beat that Capitol Police officer with a fire extinguisher in his head. It's sort of like the slave master when maybe the overseer didn't do what they were supposed to do. I'm going to protect you until you are no longer protecting the things that I want you to do. So let's not be confused if there ever was a concern for police officers and law and order. The concern was making sure that they were doing the job they were supposed to do, not actually the concern for the people when it was black faces. The coded language, you know, one of the things that one of the terrorists said is that when interviewed, that they're not supposed to be doing this to us. We're patriots. They're supposed to be doing this to Black Lives Matter. That speaks volumes in and of itself, but I think it gives us a brief insight into how they are thinking. But again, this white mob violence has always been the pinnacle. When white people have felt a loss of freedom, a loss of power, this going back, you know, to for centuries, right? These same people are now going back to teach our children. They're now going back to the hospitals. They're now going back to the police forces. Some of the police actually, we found, took off time to participate. How do we think they got into the Capitol so easy? There were off-duty police officers who were participating that used their badges to go into the places. How do we think they were able to do that, right? This wasn't something that, this was something that was planned, and they had help to do it. Again, you saw, like the clip said, you saw people taking care of people, pouring water on their eyes, the police officers taking selfies with them, right? This was more of a family reunion than it was a protest, if you will. So again, I would say, you know, you have people, terrorists who have took over our Capitol in less than 2 hours. You can't do that without help. And again, you can't talk about the preparation and saying, well, we're not prepared. You didn't want to be prepared. You didn't want to. That was a decision. And our Capitol has not been taken over or failed since 1814 in the War of 1812 to a foreign adversary. These were not even foreign adversaries. Okay? And so I'll end in saying there's a quote from James Baldwin that says what we're dealing with is really that black people in this country, there's no legal code at all. We are still governed, if that's the word I want to use, by the slave code. And that has always been what we have been governed by. This country has been a violent country, and our democracy is built on an illusion and a sleight of hand. This is what I'm saying, not the quote ended before. But this country is built on a violent country and a violent past. And our democracy is simply an illusion. It's a sleight of hand and distraction that's built on a gentleman's agreement between white people in and out of power. And I'll end with that.
All right. Thank you, sister, because the truth is, this is who we are. This is America at its best. And guess what? African Americans and black and brown people and people of color know that to be true. I'm going down to 0946. If you ready to talk, I'm willing and ready to listen. Welcome to the Empowerment Network, Margaret Ronan Stanley.
Yes, good afternoon.
Hey, sister.
Yes, good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You know, thank you for having this format, giving us an opportunity to talk about what happened. And I appreciate what Yolanda was saying, that it's important that we see this through the right comparative lens. And the only people that are grappling with the question of how the United States Capitol was overtaken by the mob in this country are white people. Black people are not grappling with this question. We understand exactly what happened. And since the Civil War, on these grounds of America, law enforcement has the majority of the time only dealt with force with people that are classified as non-white or the others. And today are still doing that. So I would like to put in there that is when the enemy becomes white in America, now you have white supremacy divided. Because, see, white people have always known that they are taking advantage of a system and they've empathized with us, but it didn't affect them. And so one of the things that I would like to do is when white solidarity is being challenged by other white people in a violent way, the outcome is paralysis by the non-white person. We watched law enforcement who were supposed to be protecting the Capitol freeze. And the commentators are saying, we are a nation of laws, but these laws of this country have defended nothing but white supremacy. And the whites that have sided with civil rights for everyone are, should be concerned because law enforcement does not know how to fight or unwilling to fight an enemy that looks like them. We have witnessed what it looks like when the enemy becomes white. Liberal whites right now are doing their best to not be fearful or just stay oblivious because whites know their words of diplomacy do not work with their brethren who are brutal white supremacists. And what I find amazing is that where are the white sociologists to explain this phenomenon that has played out in Capitol? See, implicit bias is convenient if it always still works for you. But whiteness at its best is denial, cluelessness, and the inability to critique the pathology of white supremacy. And we are witnessing whites who are afraid and whites who are not. You've got two different things going on here. You've got white people that have used diplomacy and words and concepts to control white supremacy. They know this package don't deal with their brethren that deal with brutality. And they are afraid because they know that they are no match for their brethren that are not listening to these words. So I would like to say I think it is – when the enemy becomes white in America, we have white supremacy divided right now. You offered the comparison that of white supremacy and democracy. No, white supremacy is divided right now because they are now those that have spoken up for human rights, civil rights, and still enjoyed the privileges of white supremacy are now in the same boat that black people are. Who's the enemy and who's not? They don't know who the enemy is. I mean, it's kind of like, oh, I know this is my brother. He looked like me, but is he an enemy? Is he my brother? And this causes paralysis because you don't know how to react because you're not sure who's on whose side. So you have white people right now that know that they are having discussions with, you know, I wonder what side they really own. There was a time it didn't matter because they still enjoy the privileges of the system. So I would just like to end with this, that we are witnessing what it looks like when the enemy becomes white and white supremacy now doesn't know who's on what side, and we are watching white people in paralysis right now. They are talking in circles. They got circular reasoning going on. They're talking about getting Trump out of office, but at the same time there's some restraint because these are people that they are in their bedfellows with. So I don't want to take up all the time, but I would just like to offer again that when we look at this, it is important as black people that we see through the veneer of this white concern and this white benevolence. You got white people now scared because, and I'll end with this, you got white people that are afraid and white people are not, and the white people that use all these nice, kind words know that their brethren that are white supremacists will deal with them differently, and they know that. And I think it's amazing that nobody has brought up implicit bias. Why did they freeze? They're taking selfies. They're not bringing in any experts to really discuss the social phenomenon that is really happening. You don't hear any experts doing it. They are leaving it to the news people to just gravel over this. But they're not really trying to get an understanding of this, and so I would just like to end with that.
All right. Thank you, sister. Hey, this is a safe space, right? This is African-American empowerment. This is what we're talking about. We're having a conversation, candid conversations with ourselves. You are able and free to share your views on this network. This is about FUBU. It's by us and for us. Listen to this. They were comfortable. Listen to me, right? You all know the story. The man is up in there taking selfies while he's got his feet up on the desk. They're sitting at the rostrum. They're doing whatever they want to do. The police is running from them. Now, I'm going to use my main man term. If it had been some niggas up in there, it would have been some shots fired. I'm going to 9282. 9282. This is Marvin Ronan, Stan Macklin, Empowerment Network. How are you today?
I'm fine, brothers. Peace, brothers and sisters, to everyone. I want to say I agree with what Brother George mentioned something earlier and his sister before him just recently. We must understand white power or white supremacy created this democracy. Let me say that again. White power or white supremacy created this democracy. So that should tell you all you need to know about America and this democracy. Okay, we understand that. What we have to do as a people now, and you used the word earlier, my brother, analyze. We have to be very analytical, and we have to be honest in our analysis of what's going on, okay? And by that, what I mean, understanding if we will, when we look back, we want to break this thing down and analyze what's going on in our world, how we got here, what's happening, try to figure out what the hell is going on, okay? When we look at it that way, we've got to ask ourselves honestly, how can we believe anything that white people have taught us in this country? Anything. Look at what's going on in the country. Analyze this situation and be honest with ourselves. How can we believe anything that we have learned in this country? And I know people going to get angry when I say it, but that includes Christianity, Jesus Christ story, Easter story, baby story, whatever story. How can we believe any of it in this world in which we now live? How can we believe? And another quick thing, folks saying this is an in-house fight. Well, if it is an in-house fight between the good white folk and the bad white folk, we the prize. Whichever way it goes, we the prize. Whichever way it goes, if the good white folk win, we're going to be working with the good white folk and we can be president, we might be vice president, chief of staff in this organization, because we with the good white folks won. And the illusion continues to go on. We up in here, you know. If the bad white folks win, nigga going back on the plantation. Where nigga belong, you know. That's the reality of the situation we're in. You know, I mean, we've got to be honest with ourselves. It's something else I want to say, but I don't know if I got enough time to say what I want to say.
Man, you go right ahead. The floor is yours. It's open.
I got to explain what I want to say.
To say
what I want to say, I've got to use what we call profanity, and I got to and it may sound vulgar, but I'm not trying to be profane, and I'm not trying to be vulgar. But what I'm trying to do is communicate a point. And to communicate that point, I have to really go back to what we as black folks, you know, in the hood, we were trying to express our feelings, and that's what communication is all about. When you're expressing what's on your mind, you're expressing your feelings using the white man's language. So we had to search to what we had been taught about his language and find words to express what we were feeling. So when we were talking straight up as one of us in the hood, you know, we say that white man's action right now, it's showing us that it looks like white man getting ready to go the fuck off. You know? That's what folks are. White man getting ready right now to go the fuck off based on his actions. If I'm looking at what's going down and what's going on, and to which I say, white folk, went the fuck off long time ago. To cut a baby out of a woman's belly, and while it's dangling on the umbilical cord, squash the head in of that child in front of the parents and all the other niggas around to instill fear into them. You've got to go the fuck off. To tie a man up to a horse, his limbs, all four limbs up to horses, and point them in opposite directions, and then spook them off, and they run away and tear his limbs off in front of other niggas to put fear in him. You have already gone the fuck off. They went the fuck off years ago, and you know what, brother? We are the results of them going the fuck off. And now we have to realize when Trump was elected in 2016, I was happy. I said, because he's going to now pull the cover off the illusion, off of all of them, and I don't know what their goal is in doing this, but this is what's about ready to happen. And maybe then, we as a people going to see it and realize that we must do the one thing that we have refused to do, and that's to come together as a people.
All right.
Or we're going to be the prize to the winner of the good and evil battle between white folks. And I don't want to be nobody's prize.
I heard that.
I am. You know what I mean? What are we looking forward to in life if all we can say is we got to stand by and watch and hope the good white man wins? It doesn't make sense. And that's where we are. That's what we've been doing. That's why we're having this conversation today. Please let the good white man win, because this is an in-house battle. No, it's not. Because an in-house battle, we the prize. And we don't need to be the prize no more. We need to come together as a people. And I don't mean we need to, as they did, go the fuck off. No, that's not. We don't need to do that. We need to be ourselves. We need to be God, as they so-called define it. You know, we need to find that greatness in us, and we need to be ourselves. And that's how you deal with white folks going the fuck off. We have to come together as a people. Thanks for that time,
bro. All right. All right, brother. You got it. Well, there you heard it, folks. I mean, the brother is laying it down. All right. I'm sliding down to 4692. Welcome to the Empowerment Network. It's Marvin Rome. It's your time. It's
Good
your
afternoon.
Turn. Tell us what you got. Hey, sister.
Well, I was sitting here, and I will tell you the amount of enlightenment that I just took in has had me a bit overwhelmed. When I saw what was going on the television the other day, I was in shock. But I kept struggling inside of myself as I was listening to the brothers and the sisters on the line this morning. And I kept thinking, okay, what action do we need to take? How do we capitalize on this moment? What is our call to action? We can analyze, we can dissect, but we all have an intellectual component to what we brought into this before capital. So how do we capitalize and mobilize? And the brother just laid it out. It's like a recipe. 1 + 2 = 3. He said we need to come together, and all I want to do is amplify that. That is so true. And there has to be this, I think, this great call to action with clear and concise leadership, that this is our moment. Like you said, we don't need to be watching between the good white folks and the bad white folks, and we don't want to be a prize. And I'm just going to take it all, brother, because you just laid it out there. We need to capitalize in this moment, because I am I'm taken aback, because there's some black brothers and sisters that are out here that was in that crowd that are being on television, and they still eyes and they can't see, ears and they can't hear. They still running behind that Trump bus. And I don't know, do we leave them behind? I don't know, but they haven't awoken yet. So that was on my heart too. And then I listened to Brother Clyburn this morning, and he talked about how these people didn't know where his private office is. It ain't labeled. It ain't on a book somewhere. It don't say Jim Clyburn, second in private office at this number.
So, yeah, we do need to understand the insider component to it, but that's only if we're going to watch the battle between the good white folks and the bad white folks. I'm with the brother that says we need to mobilize. We need to call folks on the carpet, and we need to figure out our plan. Somebody has written the plan for what we need to do in this moment. They need to dust it off and amplify that message, because it's time for us to come home and get busy.
I heard that. All right. Thank you, sister. It's really clear, right? There's a double standard. We know that there's some things that we need to do. This, again, is who and what America is. And like I said before, we know it. The question is, again, what are we going to do about it? And I would like to add that there are some elements of Georgia that I think in that election that has something to do with the spinoff, which they encouraged them to follow through with taking over. Listen to me, y'all. Taking over the Capitol. Right? Man. All right. I'm going down to 4756. If you're ready, I'm listening. This is your show, Empowerment Network.
Yeah, greetings. This is Brother Warren, host of New Orleans Wake Up. And I just want to say on tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern time, the time you all are on, I think, on the East Coast, which is 2 p.m. Central, I'm going to do a panel discussion on what happened on Wednesday. And I would like Sister Benita to be on the panel, because I have, let me say, about three guys I've talked to so far who agree to be on the panel. And I like Benita to be on the panel. So, Benita, get my number from Marvin. Everybody who would want to listen, the number to my show is area code 516-387-1933. That's 516-387-1933. And it'll be, if you're in the Eastern time zone, it'll be 3 p.m. your time and 2 p.m. Central. And my show is called New Orleans Wake Up. The only thing I want to say is this. I'm going to save my little energy for my panel discussion tomorrow. But right here on the Blog Talk Radio Forum is where it hits home. I have been engaging with many of the programs that are called conservative patriot shows. In other words, some will let me call in, some I'll communicate in the chat room. I knew this was happening because they were talking about it. In fact, Monday, I was on this one lady's show. Her show is called American Statesman. Sally is her name. And she kept saying, something big is going to happen, something big. And I always, of course, I always disagree with these people. But I always like to go into the enemy's camp to sharpen my sword on them. You know what I'm saying? I always just say, keep your friends close, the enemy's closer. And,
you got that right. You got that right.
And so one of the things that just a second. I'm sorry. So one of the things is that the Blog Talk is also a forum where a lot of these people have been talking about this stuff. Now, there's another one they would go to called Parler, P-A-R-L-E-R. I understand Google Play Store is going to shut that down. And I think Apple controls it. I'm kind of confused about that, but that's the one. So, Benita, the show that I introduced you to, that you started calling in for a little while, I called in and brought this issue up. So the co-host, and you know who he is, Benita, I'm not going to say anything. The co-host tried to get the host to change the subject. They put me on mute. But that particular person, Benita, participates in these white right-wing shows, have been giving them advice and giving them suggestions on things. And I have no doubt the federal authorities have been monitoring and will be knocking on some people's doors for interviews. If not, they themselves haven't gone to D.C. And Benita was right. These people are in crisis. They don't even know what to do, because for so long, they've turned a blind eye to their own kind doing whatever they wanted to do. Trump is the perfect case study. For 4 years, This guy has acted like a rich white kid in a small town, driving his fancy car up and down the main street any kind of way, hitting other cars, and nobody touched him because his dad is the big guy in town. That's how Trump has been acting. But the United States government collapsed on Wednesday. We're in a collapsed society. It has collapsed because now the big threat we all as American citizens been told was going to come from the outside. You know, we grew up with what? Communism. Then we grew up with socialism and then Iran. And we can go on and on, China. But yet it's coming from Billy Bob and Karen right down the street. And they don't know what to do. And so, the people who should feel like assholes are all these high-profile black people who went and advocated for Trump. They should feel like complete assholes with no proper sense of judgment. Their credibility is shot. That needs to be talked about, too. These black people who, I guess they felt Trump was going to win re-election, so they had nothing to lose, who went out boldly advocating that black people get on that Trump bandwagon. Let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to have a civil war among these white folk about to go down because they're busting them. They're busting. And they're busting, what, legislators and all kind of stuff. And I'm going to say this too, Mar, since I don't usually talk like this, but since this is not FCC regulated, if the Biden administration don't fuck these people up, then this even more evidence to people this is a sham. The Black Panther people, you got people still in prison. You got Sister Sada Shakur probably still in Cuba. The FBI will up the reward to get her, and that was under the Obama administration. You got Mahmoud Abu-Jamal sitting up in jail, prison, and everything. If they don't go to these white, who they know they are, if they don't go to them, busting into their houses, throwing them in cuffs, slamming them in the back of the cars, bed is crying, yeah, that horrible scene that happens to us every day all over the country. If they're not doing that with them, then, again, this system collapsed. The government, the U.S. government collapsed on Wednesday. It collapsed. So, again, I'm going to do a panel discussion on this on tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, and I like Sister Benita. Any other sister, I need sisters to be on the panel. Any other sister want to participate, can just call the number 516-387-1933. My show is called New Orleans Wake Up, and I'm the host, Brother Warren.
All right. Thank you, Brother Warren. Sister Benita, are you there?
Yes, yes.
All right. Brother Warren is on the line as well. He's invited you to be a part of his forum. So
y'all can connect.
I just want to make sure that you had that. Thank you, sister.
All right.
Warren, thank you.
Okay.
All right. So Warren said we're in a collapse. And you could see clearly that there was some favoritism, if you want to call it that, about how the police approached these folks. And these folks were allowed to do whatever they wanted to do. I'm going to be nice today. I ain't going to cuss. I used to try to keep my cussing to myself. But y'all know that that was wrong. Y'all know being a black person, an African-American, that's why I keep saying we got to have our own agenda and start framing things the way that we want them to be, because the illusion and the glass has been shattered. Come on, y'all. Y'all got to see this now. These people just marched up and did whatever they wanted to do, and they let them come in. They let them run around. They let them run amok. And we're going to keep standing for that, and they could treat us any kind of way that they want to? No, we got to have an agenda to say no, 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 no. Right? If you're going to talk about liberty and justice for all, then talk about it. But if you're not, just be clear about what your thing is. But you know how the illusion is. I'm going down to 4756. If you're talking, I'm listening. 4756, is that you again, Brother Warren? I think I done messed up. I'm going over to, sorry about that, Warren. I'm going over to, let me see, 8128. I'm sorry. I'll come back to you in a minute, Warren. 8128. It's the Empowerment Network.
How you doing, my brother?
Hey, I'm doing fine. How are you? Doing fine, brother.
Listen, I'm actually sitting here on my laptop reviewing some of the photos from the, the so-called insurrection, by these white folks. When I'm looking at the fact that they carried away furniture, they violated offices. I mean, they got pictures with them with furniture in their hand leaving the White House. I mean, tearing down pictures. They destroyed a tribute to our black brother who died recently in the White House. I mean, I'm just so
John
overwhelmed
Lewis.
Here. Yes, but this with Senator Lewis. And they are posing, right? They're posing. They got lieutenant colonels from the Air Force that they've identified. They went into the Speaker of the House office. They stole laptops. They stole furniture. They stole podiums. They did what they wanted in the White House. As you, as I think one of the callers said, this is their country, and they know it, and they do not fear anything being done to them when they go on
not
their
at all.
Rampages, right? So
not at
I
all.
Think that, from an overview of this, I think black people need to arm up quickly, because I think these white folks are going to be trying to impress other white folk by some things jumping off, with us in terms of maybe some, kidnappings or some lynchings. I can see that coming about because they're trying to prove a point. They're trying to say that this is still my country. I'm still in control. And you folks need to know it. And they just let everybody else know. Because even though they're talking about, they can identify. And clearly, these people are posing. They're posing with furniture in their hand. They're posing, breaking into offices. Okay, they're posing on the Senate floor. These people have no fear. I did not hear about arrest. In any of these articles, they didn't say that any of these people were arrested. They just said that they identified these people. Okay? We need to really wake up to the fact that these folks are trying to prove a point. They're trying to prove a point. And they are, actually, they're proving a point. to my estimation, they're getting away with this, totally. Black people looting a few stores? Come on. But do you think they call them looters? They didn't call them looters. They say they took things, okay? But they didn't call them looters. They're in the White House. We walk down the street and say that our lives matter, or we go into a store. These people here took furniture that is worth, some of this is priceless because it's antiques and it's value. Its value is not even determinable, but these were gifts to the country, okay? And done by supposedly famous, artisans. In any case, I'm saying that if we look at this and we think about how they feel about us, we better buy some guns. We better protect our families. We better escort our children. We better start acting like we are under siege. We better act like this is real, okay? Like it's, this is serious. They are going to come at black people because this is what this is about. Okay? This is their country, not ours. Okay? And they are not going to allow it. Like we've been talking about on previous shows, we do need to have our own territory. We need to protect it.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be serious about allowing other people to come into our space and just really arm up. I'm serious. I think that this is something that is not going to go away. They want to make sure we know. Okay? All right.
Thank you, brother. Hey, I'm going into overtime today, just so y'all know. I just got a text, and I'll read it. It says, not only did they do all the other things, they left urine and they pooped in the hallways. That is our American brothers and sisters' actions toward the country that you live in. So I want you to think about, we call them terrorists, but they call themselves patriots. And listen, people, it's not over. We already know the history. All you got to do is understand the history of our plight here in this country, right? Don't let your guards down because Biden is in there. Harris is the vice president. You better have an agenda to make sure that your family is protected. You better make sure that somebody is holding somebody else accountable in your area. You better talk to your senator or your congressman or your representative about what he or she plans to do as a fallout to this situation. It's too many lapses. I mean, come on now. All I'm saying is y'all got to think about this thing just as it is. 6050. It's your turn if you want to talk. Marvin Rowan is listening. 6050, are you there?
I'm here. I just have a question. What would be what would be the consequences if they didn't go after these people? What then would be the consequences? What consequence would they have to face? From us.
All right. From us? I don't think we have enough political power to do anything. That's just my opinion. I don't think we have enough. Well, one, you have to have, in this country, to me, in my opinion only, you have to have economic power in this country. Your economics got to move them to do something, right? You could go, we could get out here now and march and protest again, but I don't think our people going to do that because the cause isn't great enough, right? So, again, I think, and I'll go down to the listeners unless you have something else. I think, again, if we're not talking about moving something economically to say, hey, if y'all don't do this, then we're going to do that, right, collectively with some really good, strong leadership, then I think this is just going to play itself out between them and themselves.
I hear you, brother. That was just a question I had.
Okay. All right, well, I'll go down and listen and see what you got. Okay, thank you for calling, brother, and I'll try to get back around to you. I'm going into overtime today. As long as y'all want to talk, I want to listen because I think we got some things that we need to get off our chest. 7974, are you there?
Yes. Yeah, you know, I think to the caller's question in terms of what will happen, I think, you know, really is going to be contextual. I think what's going to happen is going to be based on what the optics and what's going to be acceptable to the optical illusions of what's going to happen. I mean, I think that there'll be some scapegoats and some representations, if you will, of justice. But I think it's like those Hollywood sets where it's you see something, but it's empty behind it. So I will say that I don't believe, I don't agree or believe that they don't know what to do. I absolutely think that they know what to do. I think white supremacy is a business and they need a scapegoat. So I do believe that they know what to do. I do believe that I think maybe they weren't prepared for the public external piece of it, but internally from the inside, Trump and others have been doing this for years, right? When we think about what white rage is, white rage has operated subtly in acts of violence against black people through the courts, through the government, through the health system, through legislation, in an internal way, and it's been acceptable. So when you tell me that now this is public and sort of the secret, something has, you know, their slip is showing, so to say, no, I think they know what they're doing. I think they just have to reset and prepare for what the external message is going to be. I don't think there's much division as we've been talking about between, I do believe, you know, when we're talking about the white liberals and moderate and all of that, I believe that this stuff has been happening, and they know. And again, like a business, you know, when I think about the, you know, if you remember the Iran-Contra, right, scandal with Ronald Reagan, Oliver North became what? A scapegoat. Ronald Reagan knew what was going on all the time, but when it came public, somebody had to take the fall. Do I think some of these people are going to take the fall? Absolutely. But this is greater than the people who were out there, the terrorists that were out there. This goes to the government, the people who have allowed this continuously to happen, and they knew it was happening. But because of the visual optics, does someone have to take a fall? Absolutely. But will the train keep going? It will, because once that fall is taken, it's going to be acceptable as a, if you will, equality of looking at what happened to the resistance. People have felt like they have lost their whiteness. They felt like, you know, whiteness has a currency to it, right? So the currency of whiteness is feeling threatened by these people all across the nation, and that's bad for business, and the business is white supremacy. So will there be an external message? Yes, that's the message that I think they want prepared to share this quickly, right, and unprepared for that. But has there been an internal message circulating the entire time that has allowed this to happen, again, through the white rage and the violence that has been happening and ongoing to black people? Yeah, that's been happening. So I think it's a difference between internal messaging and external messaging. And the only difference now is that they'd have been caught slipping, and now someone is going to have to pay the price, so the business of white supremacy can continue. And that, you know, will there be borders and things that will be put up around the infrastructure of white supremacy so that this may not happen again? But when it's caught, right, someone has to pay the price. But I absolutely believe they know what to do. I don't believe that it's as much of a division as we're talking about. I believe they know what to do. And I believe when we think about white race showing up as voter suppression, there's been lynching. Trump doing, you know, the diversity training or taking away diversity training, kids in cages, all of that. You know, if racial equality was really realized, it goes against what this country was fundamentally supposed to be for white people. So, no, I don't believe that they don't know what to do. I do. I think they're now going into protection mode like most people do when they're caught out there, right? I didn't mean to say that and all this kind of stuff. I think they're going into protection mode, and they got to have their internal message, and I think they're going to prepare for what that external message are and who the scapegoats are going to be.
All right. Thank you, sister. All right, I'm going down to 0946. Hey, if you are not paying attention, you better start listening to Fox News. All right, 0946, are you there?
Yes, I totally agree with what Yolanda is saying. I believe that this farce of white paralysis that we are witnessing is because there's two sets of conversations going on right now. There's the overt conversation about what's happening, but then there is the covert conversation, and what they are trying to decide is, How are we going to spend this? Because they all are privileged in the fact that they benefit from the system, and there are people that they know that they cannot afford to make mad. And so I believe that this paralysis that we're in right now is just to kind of comfort people or pat us on the back or make us feel better, like they're really grappling with this question. Like I said, I have yet to see any real authorities or literary people or scholars or something come in and actually discuss this phenomenon. And know that these news stations are owned, and they're owned by other people that are in white supremacy and are complicit of it. Because it's like, you know what, as long as Fox News kind of do their thing, and, you know, we're just going to leave it at that, but they, you know, they got investments together, they do things together and all that kind of stuff, then we're just going to let it be. But like you say, I think they've been caught. And so what they've done is, the power is, the media has redirected the question. They're now saying, what if this had been Black Lives Matter? And I think that is what Yolanda is attesting to. It's like, wait a minute, that's the wrong lens. It's like, wait a minute, this is white people now that are destroying this country. What are we as white people going to do about it? Nobody's asking that question. Everybody is shifting the attention on, like they always do, to the black people. Let's make the emphasis about them. Let's coddle around them. Let's say, well, what if? Nobody's, how come it's like nobody's asked the question, what is white America going to do about this? What the question hasn't even come up. I know that they're trying to do the impeachment right now. I know they're talking about the 25th Amendment, but they're just talking about it. And they got to rally support and convince one another. I'm sure they're having conversations like, do you think this is the right thing to do? I know it looks good, but is this the most effective way to deal with this? Because they are all in this together. So this paralysis that they're in right now, I believe the paralysis is real in that they are stalling to figure out how are we going to present this while we avoid the question of what white America is going to do, because nobody's even entered the conversation and said, what are white people going to do? It's all about what if this was black people. And everybody's talking in code, talking about democracy and this is a state of law and order and all that kind of stuff. But nobody's asked that preemptive question, what are white people going to do? Because this is one thing that white people know. Nigga lovers will be dealt with. And if you align too closely with this movement, there is a price to pay. So I believe, I agree with you, Lada. I don't think they don't know what to do. I think they are just planning whatever method or mechanism that they have to kind of ease this stuff. Or it's like, let's just get through these next 11 days and then you know, Trump will be out of it. But nobody's really calling for his resignation for real. I mean, we got Pelosi. Who have you seen? Have you seen anybody protesting that's white, Trump need to go? I mean, we're hearing all these platitudes. Where's the protest? Where are people that are upset? Where are people that are outraged? We have newscasters that are presenting this facade that white people are outraged, but where are they? Where are your white friends outraged? I mean, what is your Facebook saying? What is your feed saying? I don't see any outraged white people here. Everybody's talking about what happened in the Capitol, but I don't see anybody creating a line of demarcation and saying, wait a minute, what are we going to do for all of those white people, and I'll end with this, that supported Black Lives Matter, that are on the side of civil rights, and where are they? They ain't a sign, they ain't a picket, they ain't a nothing, because they know that their brethren will deal with them if they step over that invisible line. And in white supremacy, there is an invisible line that you bet not cross over if you want to continue to take advantage of the benefits that white supremacy holds to you. And I'll end with that.
I heard that. Thank you, sister. That invisible line, when you put some light on it, just may be blue. Maybe. You like that? All right, here we go. I just want to say this, and I'm just going down 4692 next. The whole world watched. And you know, we talk about democracy, and we're planting a seeds of democracy in all of these other countries, and people are coming here to this country to experience democracy. And at the same time, it was clear that the democracy that we claim that we have is not a real one. And again, I dare say that African Americans know it. In your heart, you know that there is not democracy anywhere in this country. I'm going down to 4692. The brother asked a question earlier. I want to see if we could get to that as well. 4692, are you there?
Yes, sir. I struggle to find something that is profound to share because everything that I'm hearing is so enlightening. My prayer is that this broadcast, once it is summed up, would be shared with a broader audience, because it really brings about a number of questions and a number of options that we as a community need to digest and decide how to go forward on it. So one of the things that I would say is that actually hit my heart is that as things are unfolding, let's not miss the fact that the God we serve is ever so present. And in his wisdom, he may be finding a way to show white people whiteness. And I don't expect that they are going to be able to digest that and act upon it in the masses very quickly, because for some of them, that enlightenment is not as stark as when you saw them come out of the houses, get off the couch, and get in the streets when George Floyd passed. But the reality is that for some people, there is an enlightenment and there is an awakening. And I just have to believe that the divine creator is orchestrating some scenarios to show them themselves. And at the end of the day, I believe that we as a people need to be ready to capitalize on what he's called us to. But we must recognize that it is a different call for them as opposed to us. And so most of our conversation, our attention, and our activism has to shift from what are white folks doing to what are we doing, and how do we accelerate that. That's what I have to share.
You got that right. Thank you, sister. Hey, I want you guys to think about this. I'm going now to 9282 next. The truth is that a lot of times, and I've listened carefully, and the broadcasters are saying, this is not who we are. This is not the America. And I'm saying, yes, it is. This is what we know to be true. And again, I am strictly talking from an African-American perspective. This is who you are. This is the country you live in. This is the lawlessness that we've had to deal with since we've been here. And I think we need to really grasp that. And like the brother said, what are we going to do, right? Now that we acknowledge for fact that those things happen. But remember Charlottesville, right? Charlottesville was a flashpoint, right? But also remember the practice round was in Michigan and talking about abducting the governor of Michigan. So this is nothing new. This is a progression, right? Let's think about the agenda that we're going to have in terms of what we do next. Even if we just stand still with our fingers and toes crossed, you need to have an agenda. 9282, I'm coming to you live. Marvin Rome, what you got?
Yes, sir, my brother. Earlier, brother mentioned that white folks are trying to send a message. And that message is, you still my nigga. You know, let's not forget that. You still my nigga. I control you. You know, you work for me. You work to emphasize my greatness. You know, and my strength. Let's understand our position there. I will never lose control of this country. I don't care how many of y'all up in here, brown, black, I've got to vote. Damn that. This you my nigga. Let's not forget it. Then we must control what we can't control. See, we don't see the Oz. You know, the Wizard of Oz. We forget that there's a man behind the curtain. You know, that man that pulling the strings and making all this come together. He has a plan. We call the Oz, the man behind the curtain, the devil. You know, he throwing all the illusions at you. He throwing the things like, okay, look how we far we done come. Bam, they said it never could be done. You got a black president. Bam, we get ready to throw you a black female vice president. Bam, look at the thing. I'm the wizard. Now look, now I'm gonna show you white folks storming the goddamn Capitol. Bam, coming out with furniture and laptops, computers and everything, kick back with their feet on the desk. The illusionists, the Oz, throwing all these things at us. You know? And we're gullible, we're biting into it, trying to figure out what the hell he's doing and what the message is and why he's doing the things he's doing. And he just keeps his game going, as we say in the hood. He just keeps the illusion going. And you never really know who he is. Even if America fall flat tomorrow morning, economically it just go bust, everybody die from COVID and so forth, we will never know, those of us, you know, we will never know who the wizard was. Who really called this thing? Who created money? Who controlled money? Who defined everything? Who set up an establishment where you got to go to school, elementary, middle school, high school, colleges, and control all those? Then you got to go to jobs. We got jobs set up over here where you can have a job over here, have a job where you can be a banker, you can be a lawyer, you can be a doctor. Who is the wizard? We call him the devil. Now, what we need to understand as a people, we need to focus on what we can control. Damn the Oz man, damn the wizard. I don't care about the illusions anymore that he's throwing out there before me and all the things he's doing to try to keep me down, keep me fooled, keep me searching, keep me blind, deaf, and dumb. One thing I know I can control, that's me.
I heard that.
We got to control me first. I can control me. I know I can control what I do. We as a neighborhood, we can have neighborhoods that we don't need police officers. You don't have to send no police down here patrolling our neighborhoods because we don't
that
need
sounds good.
You. We're not abusing our women down here. We're not molesting our children down here. We're not
like
hauling
that.
Out drunk. We're not selling no dope down here. We're not no. Mm-hmm. This our community. We don't need no police officers watching over us.
I like your
word. Because we commit no crimes. We come together. We can control that. Damn the man behind the curtain. We can control those things. We can make our communities in the midst of this hell stand up.
Mm-hmm.
And then deal with
I like
us.
That,
we can
brother.
Say to the world, deal with us because we teach our children. We educate our children. No, we don't teach them. We nourish them. We develop the greatness that's already in them.
Like
we don't
that.
Hinder it. We don't kill it. We foster it. We let it develop because they're our children. Just like I'm my father's child and I'm supposed to carry on his greatness, the greatness that's in me
mm-hmm.
was in him. God is in me. God's throughout my veins, my whole body. I am a God, as we've been taught a God is.
Mm-hmm.
What other greatness other than we've got to see that in us. We can control us, and we must control us. We must come together as a people and do the things we need to do. And think out of the box. Don't think about getting money. Think about developing and controlling resources. Will you define your own money? We control this. We can develop this, you know. I was telling somebody earlier today, the difference between us and the white man is local. We are universal.
Mm.
He controls this right now, this planet they call Earth. We, and don't know it or understand it, control what is called the universe.
Mm-hmm.
That's ours. That's all of ours. That's the God in us. We need to connect to that. Control us, and it starts with each one of us individually. I can't do you until you do it. Because when you do
all
you
right.
and if I do me, we're going to see each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's about. That's the action we need to take. Like your sister mentioned earlier, stop worrying about white folk. Do not focus on them. We can't control them. Control ourselves. We can control that.
All right. Thank you, brother. I'm going to slide
on
over. I appreciate it. To 8128, and then I'm going to slide down to Brother Warren, and then we're going to wrap it up for today. 8128, what you got?
Yes, my brother. I'm sitting here listening to the conversation and scanning through articles here, and I think the previous callers are absolutely right. They're doing the sleight of hand. They're trying to divert the topic. The topic is direct. The topic is obvious, and it's in your face. You know, white folks are showing that they are not going to stand for this country being taken over by liberals. Who, even though their topic, now let's not get this twisted, right? The people in office, okay. Who Biden, you know, and Warren, I mean, they're not for us. They're not in that. They're just trying to rebalance, okay, a lot of the extremities that the Trump administration did. But we have to look at the history.
after the Civil Rights Movement, okay, and all those so-called laws, voting acts, and, you know, and conditions were set and laws were passed, that next 20 years, they deteriorated and took away the power of all of those
mm-hmm.
acts. They, you know, they put them in and then they destroyed them, okay? So we can't look at Biden coming in and, you know, this white man on a white horse, you know, being supported by a nursemaid black woman, going to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
They're just in there for show. They're just to rebalance white supremacy. It's just got, you know, they just took the cover off, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing has changed, you know what I'm saying? And they're letting us know that nothing has changed by showing us how white folks can go into the White House and do what they want. A riot? I mean, that's some ultimate rioting. You're taking stuff that's worth thousands and priceless items and antiques and sweeping in the Speaker of the House's office and putting your feet up on the chair, taking light. You know, all of that is something that they got so many cameras in the White House that they can basically identify anybody that they want in this world, let alone in this country. You know, so you don't hear about the arrest rate. You hear about one or two people got arrested. But, you know what I'm saying? Their response to this is so lackadaisical that it's comical. And it's just comical, you know? You don't got past the gate and into the White House in Roman like it's your home.
Capital.
So I'm saying, brother, that we have to look at the reality of this. We must continue to find our place and separate ourselves and to awaken our brothers and sisters to the reality. We got enough evidence, okay, for those who are still sleeping, you know, I mean, to shock them awake. They need to know this is the beginning. This is not the end. Okay, we need to do what we got to do and not get ourselves relaxed at the fact that, you know, that some, you know, regime had changed. No.
Mm-hmm.
These people all have the same agenda. Some have a radical agenda about white supremacy, and some has a covert agenda. We just know that the agenda has not changed.
Got that,
you know,
right.
Black folks, just stay away. Stay away. You know what I'm saying? The worst is yet to come. Because they do it while you're sleeping. Okay. All right. And with that,
right,
I'll leave you. You know?
All right. Thank you, brother. It's time to wake up, people. All right. I'm going to go down first before I get to Brother Warren, if he's still there. I'm going to go back to 6050. Brother, you there? Has he asked a question?
Yeah, I asked a question because I just wanted to know. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. What
you
are your
me?
Thoughts? Yeah.
No, I think there's some really good things that were said today on this topic. And, you know, I think, you know, the underlying theme here is just, you know, what are we going to do for our condition, things that we can control. And I like when
True.
The brother brought that up. So I think that pretty much sums it up. I mean, if we can't have a fit over things that we can't do anything about.
True.
If we can do something about it, if we can bring some consequence, then, yeah. And I think we should talk about that. But if we can't, then all the focus should be on things that we need to do for us. Now, when this thing happened last Wednesday, should the response have been a response to what happened? Or should a response been, hey, let's call a quick meeting, let's talk about education.
I
hey,
like
this
that.
Thing's falling apart. Hey, let's get a quick meeting together. Let's talk about our economics.
I like that.
You know, just because Kwanzaa's over don't mean we can't. Not supposed to talk about cooperative economics, right? So
you got that right.
Every time they do something like this, instead of maybe, and I'm just putting the question out there, instead of us going focusing on that, maybe we should focus on, hey, let's get a community meeting together to talk about this. Let's get on Zoom and have a meeting to talk about that. Let's try to solve one of these problems. so that the worse that they get, the better we get.
There you
go. As things seem to fall apart, we're coming together, like Voltron, right?
Mm.
Just putting it out there as an option. Just wanted to see what you guys think.
All right. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. And now I'm going to slide on over to Brother Warren. Brother Warren, what you got as we wrap this thing up?
Yeah, I just want to quickly say again, I have a panel discussion on this tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Central. I also want to say that I don't think black people felt Joe Biden and Kamala Harris was salvation in God. I think that's ridiculous to accuse black people of saying that. We saw this white supremacist in the White House, and we didn't like it. So we feel comfortable with the other way. That's basically what that is. Now, I think that this is a time, in a very facetious and sarcastic way, that black people ought to put on their patriotic face. And what do I mean by this? You mean they attack the Republic? What are they going to do to them? You're not going to bomb them like you do to people in these other parts of the world? See, we ought to be facetious and sarcastically ultra-patriotic at this point to force them in a way it'll be our way of trying to persuade them you need to really attack these people viciously. And if you don't do it, why do you want me to be patriotic when you don't want your own kind to be patriotic? And they're the ones went and disrupted your most sacred holy space in the world in a joint session of Congress with the vice president asking to get him so they can lynch him. So that's the kind of response. That's the response I'm going to have around these white folk. My God, they attacked our republic, and all our lives we were taught the Russians and Iranians were going to do it. My God, when are they going to bomb them? Let me know. I'm going to enlist. I want to go. That's what we should be doing, because then we're going to further show the hypocrisy of this thing. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Brother Warren. There it is, folks. You said it all. Share this show with your friends and family, right? Or at least create a dialogue in your community, right? Listen to this show, take notes, and discuss it. If you're listening live, thank you for listening. If you called in, thank you for calling in. And I leave you with this treat. Oops.
Why do we hate?
We hate because we're taught to hate. We hate because we're ignorant. We are the product of ignorant people who have been taught an ignorant thing, which is that there are four or five different races. There are not four or five different races. There's only one race on the face of the earth, and we're all members of that race, the human race. But we have separated people into races so that some of us can see ourselves as superior to the others. We thought it would work, I guess. It hasn't worked. It has been bad for everyone. But it's time to get over this business. There is no gene for racism. There's no gene for bigotry. You're not born a bigot. You have to learn to be a bigot. Anything you learn, you can unlearn. It's time to unlearn our bigotry. It's time to get over this thing, and we best get over it pretty soon. I'm an educator, and it's my business as an educator to lead people out of ignorance, the ignorance of thinking that you're better or worse than someone else because of the amount of a pigment in your skin. Pigmentation in your skin has nothing to do with intelligence or with your worth as a human being. It's time to get over that.
When your arms are too weary to reach the unreachable star, this is my quest. without question or pause, to be willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause. And I know if I'll only be true to this glorious quest, that my heart will lie peaceful and calm when I'm laid my rest.
Peace and quiet you're sure to find,
and the world will be better for this. That one man scorned and covered with scars still